The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, Lord.
Now a man was ill, Lazarus from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. Mary was the one who had anointed the Lord with perfumed oil and dried his feet with her hair. It was her brother Lazarus who was ill. So the sister sent word to him, saying, "Master, the one you love is ill." When Jesus heard this, he said, "This illness is not to end in death, but it is for the glory of God, that the Son of Man may be glorified through it." Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that he was ill, he remained for 2 days in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to his disciples, "Let us go back to Judea." The disciples said to him, "Rabbi, the Jews were just trying to stone you, and you want to go back there?" Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours in a day? If one walks during the day, he does not stumble, because he sees the light of this world. But if one walks at night, he stumbles because the light is not in him." He said this and then told them, "Our friend Lazarus is asleep, but I am going to awaken him." So the disciples said to him, "Master, if he is asleep, he will be saved." But Jesus was talking about his death, while they thought that he meant ordinary sleep. So then Jesus said to them clearly, "Lazarus has died, and I am glad for you that I was not there, that you may believe. Let us go to him." So Thomas, called Didymus, said to his fellow disciples, "Let us also go to die with him." When Jesus arrived, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, only about 2 miles away, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them about their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went to meet him, but Mary sat at home. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise." Martha said to him, "I know he will rise in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus told her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, even if he dies, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord. I have come to believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, the one who is coming into the world." When she had said this, she went and called her sister Mary secretly, saying, "The teacher is here and is asking for you." As soon as she heard this, she rose quickly and went to him. For Jesus had not yet come into the village, but was still where Martha had met him. So when the Jews who were with her in the house comforting her saw that Mary get up quickly and go out, they followed her, presuming that she was going to the tomb to weep there. When Mary had come to where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who had come with her weeping, he became perturbed and deeply troubled and said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Sir, come and see." And Jesus wept. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not the one who opened the eyes of the blind man have done something so that this man would not have died?" So Jesus, perturbed again, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay across it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the dead man's sister, said to him, "Lord, by now there will be a stench. He has been dead for 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. And Jesus raised his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you for hearing me. I know that you always hear me. But because of the crowd here, I have said this, that they may believe that you sent me." And when he had said this, he cried out in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out. The dead man came out, tied hand and foot with burial bonds, and his face was wrapped in a cloth. So Jesus said to them, "Untie him and let him go." Now many of the Jews who had come to Mary and seen what he had done began to believe in him. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise you, Lord Jesus Christ. I used to love watching Chinese movies with my father when I was a kid, especially the martial arts films of Bruce Lee. We enjoyed them not only for the action, but also for the wisdom in his words. Those moments became some of my fondest memories with my dad, when he tried to draw out life lessons from what we watched, turning simple scenes into lasting insights. And one of Bruce Lee's reflections has stayed with me, that saying, "The usefulness of a cup is in its emptiness." A cup is useful not because it is full, but because it has space to receive. If it is already filled, it cannot take in anything more. And how often we are like that cup, already full. While it is a blessing not to be empty, being full can also become a problem. We become full of our plans, full of our expectations, full of our need for control. And because we are full, we resist anything new. We begin to see emptiness as something negative, as loss, as weakness, even uselessness. But the cup teaches us something important. The cup becomes useful precisely when it is empty. And so on this fifth Sunday of Lent, the Lord invites us to see emptiness differently. An empty cup is not useless, especially when it is held in the hands of God. In fact, it is precisely in our emptiness that God can work most deeply in us. And allow me to reflect with you on the two emptiness as the readings show: the emptiness of control and the emptiness of the tomb. First, there is the emptiness of control. We can say that we have that kind of emptiness when we have that moment when we realize we are no longer in charge, when our plans fall apart and things do not go the way we hoped. It feels uncomfortable, even frightening. And yet, this kind of emptiness can become a moment of growth, a growth in trust, if seen in the light of faith. In the gospel, Martha and Mary expected Jesus to come and heal their brother Lazarus. But things did not go their way. Lazarus died. And all they could say to the Lord is, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother could not have died." Their control was gone. We see the same scenario in the first reading in the book of the prophet Ezekiel, when the prophet said, "Our bones are dried up, our hope is lost." So the context being they were exiled in Babylon, and because of that exile, the Israelites had lost everything, their land, their temple, their identity as a nation. They were completely emptied. But it is precisely in that emptiness that God speaks, "I will open your graves. I will put my spirit in you that you may live." God does not begin his work when we are in control. He begins when we are ready to trust. I remember during a recent flight in my return here in Seattle from Manila, I carefully booked a seat with extra legroom, hoping for a comfortable journey. But when I was already comfortable seated in my seat, I was in the middle, when other passengers arrived, there were huge guys. So one seated at my right and my left. So imagine the position I had to endure. And not to mention one accident happened when a pop-up TV coming from the arm seat, so it was quite loose. And in the middle of the night, the person seated at my right accidentally touched it, and it fell on my knees. So I had to shout, "Agui." So that's my my language. That means ouch. Okay. But then consoling thing is they were awakened by my shouting, and so they checked on me. "Are you okay?" So that was quite a consolation. And so in that moment, I had a choice, either to complain or to accept. But then it reminded me that not everything is within my control. And when life does not go according to plan, when prayers seem delayed, when control slips from our hands, this is not the end. It may be the very moment God is inviting us to trust Him more deeply. And so instead of dwelling on the negative, the whole experience made me thankful for a safe flight, and thankful also for a good vacation I had. And then there is this emptiness of the tomb. The moment when everything seems finished, when what once held life now holds silence. The tomb is where human ability reaches its limit. Nothing more can be done. It is closed, sealed, and final. And yet, Jesus says, take away the stone. The tomb is not just a place of death. It is a space waiting for God to act. Before Lazarus could come out, the stone had to be removed. What seemed like a place of loss became the very place of miracle. And this is not just something that happened long ago. It continues even today. I was inspired lately by one testimony of a pro-life volunteer. A young mother had been considering ending her pregnancy. Standing outside the clinic was Rita, a longtime parishioner, simply praying, simply being present, showing compassion. And that quiet presence made a difference. The young woman came out and said, "Don't worry about me. I won't be getting an abortion now. I saw the ultrasound. I'm having a baby girl." The Holy Spirit was at work through prayer, through presence, through faithful witness. The tomb of fear was opened. The stone of despair was rolled away, and in that space, life was chosen. Just like in the gospel, the miracle began when the stone was removed. Someone had to stand there. Someone had to believe. Someone had to help open the way. Saint Augustine of Hippo offers a beautiful insight about the raising of Lazarus. For him, it is not only a physical miracle, but a sign of spiritual resurrection from sin to new life. Martha warned, "Lord, there will be a stench." But even that did not stop the Lord from entering the tomb. And this is our hope. When we feel trapped in our own sinfulness, when we think we are too far gone, when we believe there is no way for the Lord to enter into our lives, remember the story of Lazarus. There is no darkness too deep. There is no sin too great, no stench too strong that can keep the Lord away. Because God does not avoid what is broken, He enters it and brings it back to life. And so, as we approach Holy Week, let me ask, where is the tomb in your life? Is it a past hurt that still lingers? Is it an attachment that weakens us? Is it an unforgiveness that you still carry in your heart? Do not walk away from it. Do not seal it shut. Be like those who stood with Christ. Roll away the stone. Through a word that encourages, through a presence that consoles, through a patience that understands. Remember what Jesus told Martha. "Did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God. And because in God's hands, even the darkest tomb can become a place of life. God does not run from our emptiness. He enters it. And in His hands, even weakness becomes strength. Even darkness becomes light. Even the tomb becomes a place of life.